Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He does an outstanding job of covering the Browns for the Beacon Journal. It's based out of Akron. Go to Ohio.com, and you can read everything that Chris Easterling writes about the team. Hello, Chris. How are you, bud?
All right, Chris.
Not too bad, fellas. How you doing?
Thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it. We're doing okay. We chatted in the last hour, and Dan and I both watched Thursday Night Football last night, and the same thing struck each of us. It was, man, what am I learning about the Browns by watching this game? And the thing that hit me first and foremost, Chris, was, as if we didn't know, boy, do I understand why the Browns thought they needed to go get a big-time quarterback to compete with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson for the next 5 to 7 to 10 years. But, boy, they sure missed the boat. And I wonder what happens next.
Yes, I mean, and how long does it take for them to get to the point where they can get that guy? You know, because you missed the boat, and now you have to try to find that guy again. And, you know, you're going to get a high pick this year probably in a year where the quarterback class is lacking, for lack of a better term, where, you know, finding even a bridge guy. You might have your bridge guy on the roster in Jameis, you know, if they get some done. But, boy, each passing day, that trade just looks worse and worse, because not just the how little it's paid off in the past and present, but how much it's just an anchor on this franchise for the future.
So Andrew Berry addressed the media on Wednesday in a press conference that I believe I looked at Jeff and Andy and went, what the hell just got said? What did you take away from that press conference?
I might be reading too much between the lines.
Okay, good. We need some of that. Let's go.
I think they said they're done with Deshaun Watson.
I think you might be right, because he had every opportunity to say he was the starter next year and he didn't do it.
Right. There's a way to say what they said, which is, look, he's coming. He just suffered a significant injury. And right now we're only worried about him getting healthy. And these guys won't see on Friday who's starting on Sunday. So them not, you know, tipping their hand as to what's going on next year, you know, isn't out of the realm of possibility, you know, granting that. But you say that, but you also say, we believe in Deshaun. Deshaun is our guy, if he's your guy. You don't give – there's always a possibility. There was too much tap dancing around it for you to think anything other than these guys – are trying to think and come up with an exit strategy from this anchor that is the Deshaun Watson contract and everything that has come with. Quite frankly, it's going to go down as the worst deal in the history of the NFL.
Chris, what is a possible exit strategy? And do you think it's viable that he's on this team and is the second or third string quarterback? Could that possibly be the solution?
Achilles tendon injuries, they say nine months, 12 years.
I mean, that might work.
I mean, if it happened to me, it would be 12 years. I can guarantee you.
9 to 12 months to recover. So what's 9 months? It's right about July, isn't it? That, you know, you would think you'd be able, if the full recovery, that he'd be able to start doing football things, it would seem like. So that puts you right up a training camp. Well, we've seen how they handle anybody who's coming off an injury in training camp. Assuming, again, we're dealing with the same front office head coach combination next year. So that means you probably don't see him much during training camp. So, you know, put him on the PUP list and ride that out as long as you can, because at some point you're going to have to make a move, because the NFLPA will no doubt, you know, object to just, you know, stashing somebody on the on some injury list if they're able to play football. But, you know, I think it gives them a little bit, at least initially, maybe the chance for an out at the beginning of next year. But you're right, at some point you're going to have to make a decision, and I think at that point you could ride it out enough to where the cap hit is manageable enough. I mean, it's never going to be manageable, but it's manageable enough that you can deal with it and move on from him, because he deserves every dollar. I mean, you made the mistake of signing him to that contract, so, you know, there's not going to be any, you know.
There's no give back by the player here,
no.
Chris. And you're right, there shouldn't be.
No, there's no give back from the player.
Yeah, there shouldn't be.
But at the same time, you know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe, you know, but, no, I think that the recovery time does give them a lead up to figuring something out, maybe, assuming, you know, that's ultimately what they do.
Well, and Chris, so like everybody's using the parallel of the Russell Wilson contract in Denver and pointing to that one. But that took Sean Payton coming in after a previous regime signed him. Sean Payton comes in, gives it a shot for a year, and then was able to go to, I mean, probably general manager, but definitely ownership, and then say, I can't win with this guy. We got to go a different direction. I don't know if anybody in that Browns organization has the pull of a Sean Payton to go up to Jimmy Haslam and say, I can't win with this guy.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of people in that organization to swallow a little bit of pride, to swallow some pride and just acknowledge what doesn't work. And it's obvious it's not working. And, you know, yeah, are there other factors involved? Yes, but he didn't look like a quarterback who was comfortable at any point in time over those six plus games he played. It wasn't just because he had, you know, offensive linemen down, because, you know, they had two backup tackles last December and a statue of a quarterback somehow managed to throw for 300 yards every game. it was more the pocket awareness, the indecisiveness, that sort of thing. But somebody's going to have to make a decision, make a call. I mean, or maybe this is what ultimately leads to a change, you know, and a change elsewhere in the organization. I don't know, but, you know, this is, the only way you move on is for some key decision makers in that organization and the ownership to sort of swallow a little bit of pride, realize, look, it's time to cut bait. I mean, we're just, every year we keep doing this, we just set our franchise back even further because guys like Myles Garrett aren't getting any, Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller aren't getting any younger. And, you know, we're going to be out of our window, if they not already are out of their window, before we come anywhere close to, you know, being ready to figure the quarterback position out.
Chris Easterling joining us. He's the Browns beat reporter for the Beacon Journal. You can read his work at the Beacon at ohio.com. Chris, the Jameis Winston, I won't call it an experiment, the era, let's call it the era, started against the worst pass defense in the NFL in the Ravens. And we saw, you know, we saw it get shredded again last night by a great quarterback in Joe Burrow. Then you go up against the stingiest defense in the NFL, and Jameis didn't play well against the Chargers. Where is the real Jameis Winston? Do we have any idea yet? And do you think there's any way that he's the quarterback of this team next year?
One, I think there's a chance. It's gonna, I think it's gonna take some, things playing out over the course of the next couple of months, and also what opportunities maybe Jameis has. It's probably gonna be a situation where he goes free agency, then comes back if he does. But I mean, the real Jameis Winston is somewhere between what you saw in Baltimore, what you saw against the Chargers. I mean, that's the Jameis Winston experience. I think it is a roller coaster. It's funny because, my colleague and friend Nate Ulrich, who was covered the Browns before I did, we did predictions for that game, and he said, this is the Jameis, a three interception game's on its way. Well, sure enough, because that's Jameis Winston, So, I mean, this is sort of what you sign up for when you sign up for Jameis Winston. And I think there's more good than bad. I think they're going to win some more games with Jameis, in part because I look at some of the teams they play, and there's opportunities there. But, look, you just have to accept that he's going to – it's sort of like Joe last year. You sort of had to accept that, it's the same sort of mentality, that gunslinger mentality that I'm going to throw it over the mountains, and a defender might intercept it on the way there, but that's what you just have to deal with Joe Flacco or Jameis Winston.
And at least Jameis lets you look at the rest of this offense, Chris, and figure out who's a keeper and where you got to look in a draft or in free agency next year.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. This is the best thing that could possibly happen to Cedric Tillman's career. This is I don't think Elijah Moore is going to be here next year, but in terms of him finding someplace else to hook on to, this is the best thing for him. This is the best thing for this whole organization, is because at least you get a real opportunity to evaluate some of these pieces at the skill position spots, because the quarterback isn't preventing you from doing that. And the quarterback was preventing you from doing that over the first six games.
Chris, what do you think of the Ken Dorsey offensive coordinator role now calling plays? Is this working? Is it not working? Was Kevin grasping at straws, or has Kevin made the right move?
I don't think it's been a bad move. I think at some point, you're just trying. At that point, they were just trying to find something, anything to change the narrative about that offense. And I think Kevin finally said, who I think is a good play caller. I do. He didn't get to this point, without being. That's a strength of his, and I think he's good. Are there questions? But there's questions about every play caller at some point. But I think this was him going, here, fine. Let's let, this is what you want. Let's see it. And, Ken has done, I think, a fine job. I mean, I don't notice – I'm not breaking every single, route down. But it looks pretty much the same because they've said all along this has been a collaborative effort. It's not just, you know, Kevin was calling the plays, but Ken had input. You could watch him and see the input that Ken and Chad O'Shea and the others in that offensive staff had, you know, had on that offense. So I think it's just, you know, it's a different vantage point. It's a different, you know, style, maybe rhythm. And I do think it gives Kevin a chance to step back. And with such a critical 8 games left, nothing else, evaluate the roster and see where this organization needs to go in the offseason to get back to the playoffs, it at least gives him something, you know, a clearer view, because he's not, you know, he's not thinking of the next play he has to call.
Chris Easterling joining us, BeaconJournalOhio.com. Do you think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are in their positions next year?
For now, yes, I do. Now, let's see how these next 8 games go, because a lot can change over. But I think at right now, if I had to put money on it, I would wager both are back, because I think they're both. I don't think you can separate the two, if that makes sense. You know, I think they're a package deal. You know, the extension was done as a package deal. They were hired basically as a package deal. They are connected, right, wrong, and different. They're connected, and I think they'll get a chance, because I think the Haslams do trust both of them and believe in both of them. I think they're going to get an opportunity to dig themselves out, because it's so close to what they saw last year. I mean, they're less than a year removed from a playoff appearance. So, you know, I think they're going to get that opportunity, barring a complete final 8 game meltdown.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, on the defensive side of the ball, with Za'Darius Smith being traded to the Detroit Lions, who do you think takes over the role as the starting defensive end? Is it Oboe? Is it Isaiah McGuire? Who do you think takes over?
I mean, if you're just going by experience, it would be Oboe, but I think Isaiah McGuire is the guy they really want to see what they have here. I mean, you know, he's second year, everybody develops, you know, a different pace. But, you know, this was about the time, if we could think back to, 2023, where Alex Wright started to take a step forward. You know, the second half of last year, Alex Wright had, I thought really started to show signs of, oh, he's getting it. He's starting to make plays. And I think they're really, in a way, excited to see if Isaiah McGuire can take that next step, because if he can take that next step, you have two young guys in Wright, assuming he comes back healthy from the surgery he underwent, and McGuire, that you can sort of build off. You know, you can sort of, hey, we have guys. We can, you know, we're finally stockpiling some young guys on that, you know, on this defense, on that defensive line, to run alongside Miles, who, let's be honest, he's getting up there in years. You know, he's not old by any stretch. I would never call him old. But, you know, he is, you know, several years into the league. So I think that's what they really want to see is, can Isaiah McGuire take some of the steps forward that Alex Wright did a year ago.
Chris, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the bye week and get back to it next week, bud.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, fellas.
Chris Easterling, BeaconJournalOhio.com, does a great job of covering the Browns, and he joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.